Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. I waited until the transfer window had finished before we did this one. Most of it is in Bucharest. Stories that are pretty timeless, just people I met in Bucharest, which was a really good European away trip. There was a huge Manchester United following in the Romanian capital, and the away end looked fantastic. Really, really big numbers. Loads of Reds travelled over. Not just from Manchester, but there were a load from Romania, from Bulgaria. I say a load, you know, I'm not talking more than hundreds or anything like that, but it was good to see United go through the group with 5 wins and 3 draws, one of the best records in that Europa League group. We'll find out in a couple of weeks which team we're going to get. It's probable that the away leg will be first on March the 6th, and That led to 3 wins on the bounce, and then we had the defeat against Palace. Were you surprised? Really? I looked at the odds before the match, and like Palace were like 4-1 or something like that. And you sort of think, yep, okay, that makes sense. And then you think, why does it make sense? Manchester United are really poor at home in the league under Ruben Amorim. That was a 5th defeat in 6 home games. And it's really worrying. It's alarming. And the fans are backing the manager, they're singing the manager's name, but it's still alarming. And we're going to have the prospect coming up pretty soon of season ticket renewals. We don't know what the prices are going to be on them, but people are worried about them. And people thinking, well, wait a minute, we're losing every single week here, or every time that we play. Thankfully, there's no home league game now until the end of the month against Ipswich Town. Come on, if United don't win that one. But we all know this script, this season, and even Southampton with a better team at Old Trafford recently. We've got an FA Cup game against Leicester on Friday night. Ruud van Nistelrooy coming back to Old Trafford. I've stayed in touch with Ruud since he left the club. Went to watch his Leicester team, give him support against Tottenham a few weeks ago. And obviously they won, which meant he invited me to go to the Everton game. Because obviously I bring him pure good luck. And I couldn't go to the Everton game. Why would I? And they got hammered. I think I better stay away from Old Trafford on Friday night. I don't want to be bringing Leicester City good luck. But if any Leicester fans are listening, towards the end of the season, if you're really down there, I might pop along to one of your games, just get a few straight wins, enough to stay up. So this week we have a rare midweek when there's no football. That's because United were knocked out of the League Cup by a Tottenham team who can't win games, but of course they beat Manchester United. A Tottenham team who are worse than Manchester United, although they've got the sort of injury list that United had last season. And then we've got the FA Cup game on Friday. The FA Cup is huge for United this season, as it was last season. It saved the season. And there's a semi-favourable home draw, having overcome Arsenal superbly in the last round. But with home games comes pressure and the form that we've seen. In Cups, United have been better. Beating Rangers, beating Pauk, beating Bodo Glimt. Narrowly, all of them. But then, apart from the last game against FCSB, the Europa League was pretty tight. I think the average goal difference across the whole group was much smaller than the Champions League and the Conference League. So it shows that there's a good level of competition in that. We've no absolute standout teams. You saw Ole Gunnar's Besiktas hammer Athletic Club, who were top of the table at the time. Not that Besiktas went through, because he lost against 20 with a late goal. Of course, is Erik ten Hag's old club. We also finished United We Stand. The deadline for subscriptions is now closed. That will be on sale on Friday. The mag's going well. Appreciate all your help in buying it and supporting it. And you can download it from midnight on Friday if you want the digital edition. If you're not at the match, for example, or if you're not living somewhere where there's a very quick postal service. That said, we've got subscribers around the world. The transfers, I think a lot of United fans were frustrated, but then, are we surprised given the financial pressure that Manchester United are under? Tyrell Malacia went to PSV. That's the last move that has happened. PSV have got an option to sign him. They're going to pay his full wages. So it's a shame. But watching Turomalasia against FCSB in the first half on Thursday was also pretty challenging. And he's not been back in football long, but he just looked well short of the level. And that was against FCSB. And that's a shame because, you know, against Manchester City in the league in a win in his first season, he did look really good, especially on Marking Mahrez, who's a fantastic player. What else? Marcus Rashford went to Aston Villa, who'll pay most of his wages. Anthony went to Real Betis, who'll pay most of his wages. Both of them want exactly the same thing. They want to do well for themselves, for their clubs. And that would also help Manchester United because it would give them a stronger resale value. Villa could exercise an option. If Anthony's doing well in La Liga, then his stock starts to rise because it's really low. Same with Marcus Rashford. And then who else have we got? Ruben Kerley, young midfielder, young Manchester lad. He's gone to Stoke City. Wish Ruben well. He's a good kid. He's had two serious injuries and he's from a decent footballing family in Old Trafford. His dad used to play in the same team as my brother at Curzon Ashton. And Ruben's a really nice lad, so he's still quite young, but if he can just push on and maybe get in Stoke City's first team and have a good career, then that would be fantastic for him. What else have we seen? So we've got the incoming players, Patrick from Lecce, from Arsenal. Heaven, what a name. Yeah, there's stuff about these in the new United We Stand. They are positions which Manchester United have identified. But most fans are saying at the moment, where are the goals coming from? We've lost two first-team forwards. And when you're watching Manchester United right now, you do wonder where the goals are coming from. Kobbie Mainoo started as the most advanced player against Palace, which looked good for about 15 minutes. So these are worrying times, really, really worrying times for Manchester United. The league table is accurate. It shows what Manchester United are, the 12th or 14th best team in England so far this season. But things have been better in the cups. But what sustains United is the fans who are there through thick and thin. And it's thin at the moment, but we've had plenty of thick. And it's those fans who I wanted to speak to when I went to Bucharest last week. And I did so having travelled from Fulham, where we had the last podcast, and then I travelled on through Germany. I spent some time with Shakhtar Donetsk. Met Red van der Hauw, actually. He's the goalkeeping coach there. Top man, Ray. Best looking 61-year-old in the world. And I went for a drink with him and his wife, Marita, and talked about times when he was at Old Trafford, and he loved it. He had a really good time there, and I'd like to go and spent some time with Shakhtar in Donetsk. It's something I've been planning for a while. I say in Donetsk, I meant in Ukraine, because Shakhtar have not been to Donetsk since 2014, which is when Manchester United played there, 2013 actually, which is when Manchester United were champions of England. It's a long, long time ago. So I'll start you now outside the National Stadium in Bucharest, when I took a bus from the old town, which was full of Reds, singing away towards the stadium, and the bus was full of Manchester United fans, and they were from all different countries. It was just really nice for me to observe them and then to have a word with one of them as I stepped off the bus to find out what his story was. And then after the game, I spoke to Ruben Amorim, so you get a little bit of insight into what's going on in his mind as well. Cheers for listening. Keep the faith. It's difficult. It's going to continue to be difficult. It might even get more difficult. I'm as frustrated as anybody is watching this. Don't have any magical answers here either. The new mag is out on Friday. There's loads of brilliant, brilliant material in there. It was an absolute pleasure to edit it. There's stuff in there you will not find anywhere else, from tear-jerking stuff to laugh-out-loud moments that people get up to. And that's where I'm finding strength at the moment, from Manchester United fans. Okay. Walking to the stadium on a very dark street in Bucharest, and I just asked a gentleman if this was the right way to the stadium. Where are you from? What's your name?
Hello, my name is Nikolai. I'm from Bulgaria. I'm 31. I came for the game. I got a 300 euro speeding ticket.
Really?
Along the road, yes. My wife is mad because it's under her name, because the car is hers. And I've been 2 days now in Bucharest. I like it. I love it. And I expect Amorim to put a good side out so we can win the game.
So you're a United fan?
Yes. Since the early days, I remember watching football on TV. It has always been United.
Which early days? What did you see on TV?
I think the treble year was the first year that I can remember, because I was 6 back then. So I remember the final, and I remember against Bayern Munich at the Camp Nou. It's a legendary game that every United fan must know about, must see, and the ones that haven't been born there need to see this as the roots of our football club, how we do things and how we win things.
So what attracted you to United when you were a child in Bulgaria?
It was a habit of watching a red team winning every game on a Saturday afternoon, because games at 3 p.m. start at 5 p.m. in Bulgaria. So, yeah, you were spending the afternoons in front of the TV from September to March, let's say. Because when you cannot play football outside, you stay in and watch the TV. And it was not many games. And United was the most popular club in Bulgaria back then. And I fell in love. I fell in love. And since then, it has been like a journey that I don't want to ever finish.
How did you feel then when Manchester United signed a Bulgarian, Dimitar Berbatov?
Well, back then, you had the feeling throughout the whole window that United were going to sign him, because everybody knew that the player wants to come. Everybody in Bulgaria had just this feeling that at some point this guy is going. And even the last hours, I think City tried to hijack. But back then, it was not so developed to have the mainstream media, the journalism, minute by minute. So you were getting some news every hour or so. And even in the last minutes, nobody was worried, because we knew that it was going to happen. And from the first match he played, it just clicked. I think his first game for United was against Aarhus,
yeah,
in Denmark. Mm. He scored a brace.
Aalborg.
He scored a brace. And his father was in the studio, and they were asking for his commentary, and he just said, let's watch and enjoy, because that's what he does and what he did. And by the way, today he has a birthday, so happy birthday to Berba, the best player, the best Bulgarian player of my generation and his generation. It's such a pity that he is no longer playing and we don't have someone like him.
Have you ever been to Old Trafford?
No, unfortunately no, but this is my debut game for United.
Is it?
Yes, it is, and it's hard to express with words what it means to me, because the tickets, my wife was supposed to be with me, and the tickets was present for me for St. Nicholas Day, because I'm Nikolai. From my late mom. It was the last piece of gift she gave to me before she passed away. So it makes it really, really special for me.
When did your mother pass away?
About 50 days ago. It was before Christmas. And she always asked me to pursue my dreams. So my dream comes true today. And my biggest dream is to visit Old Trafford one day. And I think it's going to happen in May against Crystal Palace. I think it was. I need to see the schedule yet, but yeah, I'm going to buy tickets for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, if you do, tell me. I'll see you when you come to Manchester.
Okay, thank you. It will be lovely.
And how did you get the ticket for tonight?
On the FCSB
Okay, so you're in the home section.
Yes, I'm in the home section, but I think it's going to be like 10,000-15,000 United fans, if I'm not wrong, because it's crowded with United flags, crests, t-shirts everywhere in Bucharest for quite some time now.
What do you make of the current United team?
If I say honestly, I think the audio cannot go up online. But I'm disappointed because we've let too many players that are not so good have big spells at the club with big money. And unfortunately, the worst, I think, is, I hate to admit it, but players don't come to play football, don't come to win trophies. They come because we are the new Chelsea. We are giving money to the club they played for, and the wages, the weekly wages to them. So if a young player now wants to play good football, to win trophies and to get some money, he's going to Liverpool and to Man City, unfortunately. If he wants to get the paycheck, he comes to Man United. And it installed a culture inside the dressing room, I think. And nobody sees it seriously. And I see that the fans are getting the bias same as some of the media outlets, because they are now celebrating that Lisandro Martinez is being involved in more goals, assists and key passes. Meanwhile, we are 12th, 13th in the table, which a proper United fan will never admit as the real quality of the club.
We're now outside the National Stadium here in Bucharest, 55,000 seater. I came here in, I think, 2010 when United played Galati, and there's a police helicopter above. The game is sold out. Tickets have been going for 10 times face value. It's been really nice to talk to you. Do you know why I asked to speak to you? Because I saw you on the bus then helping other people, helping other United fans, talking to them, being friendly with them. I could see that there were people from all around, many different countries, and I just thought it was really nice what you were doing. So thank you for that.
Thank you too. I think it's one of the main things that football is teaching us all the time, to understand each other, to help each other, to be supportive. And the community of people that love our game are always going to be like this. So it's not thanks to me, it's thanks to the game we love.
What's your name?
Nikolai.
Okay, Nikolai, you take care.
Thank you.
Really nice. Just walked through the gates into the stadium, and a gentleman's just asked me if I'm British, and I am British. What's your name?
Daniel Bulteanu. I come from Timișoara, from the west side of Romania here.
And which team you support?
Well, tonight I'm Romanian. I'm born 300 kilometers away from here, but I'm Man United. And it's the first time I see the team actually play a game. I didn't have the chance to see them in Cluj or against Oțelul on this same stadium. But I hope to get to see some of the players tonight too. You know, I seen them coming to the stadium, and let's hope we have a nice game tonight.
Why do you support Manchester United?
Well, I first saw them when Eric Cantona was playing for us, and Alex Ferguson was in charge. I simply liked the way they played back then. I remember those games in the 99 campaign against Inter, against Juventus, and of course the final. We remember that one. And I just fell in love with the team. After that, years later, I went to Manchester. I saw the stadium and everything that's going on around there. And I like the city too. Well, it was kind of a crappy weather, but yeah, we forget about that one.
Because normally in Manchester there's sunshine every day, so
sure.
You got unlucky. Which year did you go there?
2007.
Okay.
And back then I saw even two other players we had back then, and I'm talking about Darren Fletcher.
Yeah.
And Chris Eagles, I think. And
yeah.
Chris actually went to play for Burnley.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, you're not mistaken. He did go to play for Burnley.
I do remember those guys back then. And well, I didn't even get to see United play against Dinamo all those years back, also in Bucharest.
Yeah.
But I get to see them tonight, so let's hope we have a nice game.
How do you feel about United at the moment? Do you watch the games on television?
Yeah. The way I see it, we should back the manager. We always trusted our managers, even when Erik ten Hag was in charge. I say we trusted them, and we have to back Ruben Amorim too. Yeah, we have some players that maybe they're not at the usual level of Man United, but who knows? Maybe he can get us back on track. I actually believe in him.
I like your optimism. I like your confidence. Can I have a prediction for the game tonight, please?
I would be happy if we win 1-0. It's all. It's for me. And I would actually like Rasmus Højlund to score. I want him to confirm.
Do you rate him, Rasmus?
What?
Do you think he's a good enough standard, or you think in the future he can be?
I want him to prove he is, because he was brought to actually the greatest club in the world. I want him to prove his worth playing here. And I want the same thing from Marcus Rashford, if he'll ever come back. I want the same thing.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Andy.
I'm in the stadium, exactly an hour gone, and Manchester United have just taken the lead, and 3,000 United fans, probably more, certainly a lot outside without tickets, are singing Who the Fuck Are Man United. Home fans have been brilliant, really loud. Big tribute to Helmut Dukadam, the former Steaua goalkeeper, before the game, and have been singing his name throughout. It's a fantastic arena, 55,000, been a sellout. And United's a very tough game for Manchester United. They're really putting strong challenges in, even after the ball's gone. But I think United have held up quite well so far, and taking the lead. So to do that at half time, Collier and Malacia, who was poor, came off, and Ahmad and Garnacho came on and made a difference straight away. So it's 1-0, so looking very good for the group, this on a cold night in the capital of Romania.
Andy,
what's your assessment of the game?
I think we controlled the game quite well. In the beginning, a little bit more slowly, the tempo of the game, but also the opponent was really close. And in the first half, they covered all the space and they sprint a lot and tried to press with our three defenders in build up with just one player. But we managed to create some chances, we didn't score, and then in the second half you can see the opponent getting tired, more slower when he covered the space. We had more space with the players, with Kobe between the lines, one against one from Ahmad, and the pace of Garna I think helped a lot. We managed to score two. We should score more. We had transitions, sometimes 4-2, and we have to decide more in a better way this kind of play. So it was a good game. We did some rotation. Now the focus is on the next game.
At the end of the game, you and Mr. Halamus had a chat on the beach. Can you tell us what you talked about? At the end of the game, you and Mr. Halamus had a chat on the beach.
No, it was. No, it was like just congratulations about the game. I said good luck. Before the match, we changed phones to get together to talk about football, normal stuff.
Sally.
Hi, Ruben. What did you make of Kobe's display, overall display tonight? And just how, I know you've spoken about it ahead of a few games, but just how big a boost is it for you and the team to have missed the playoff?
That is really, really important for us. To have time to train, to create connection between everybody, even the staff, everybody there in training, go to the pitch, know each other in the right environment. I think is really important. Then you can have 1 week to prepare a game, so you can work in the beginning of the week. You can work your idea, and then you have time to focus also on the opponent. To prepare the game in the better way, the players can rest. I can understand better my players and put together the Kobe position today. We need time to understand the players. He was struggling a lot defending as a midfielder. Now more as a 10, you can feel it that he was so free playing the ball near the box, and near the box is really good. The small connections. So I need time. We need time to work with the players to understand what is the best position for them.
You are used to playing beautiful atmospheres with Manchester United. How would you rate the atmosphere tonight?
It was amazing. Really nice. Really good support. But you can feel it that my players are used to play in this kind of environment, and there is no environment like ours.
Was there someone from FCSB you like?
Sorry?
Was there someone from FCSB you like?
No, I will not start with that. Just focus on my players. I really like my players today.
Hi, Ruben. Do you think you've played well enough? You're unbeaten in the group stage. You're maybe the only team in Europe to have gone through both the Champions League and the Europa League. Do you think you're playing well enough to be considered one of the favourites to win the competition?
No, I don't see a big difference in the way that we play, and we can. But today we had more time to think, and now you can see some movements. The idea is there because we have more time to play to understand the game. I think we can think game by game. We can win it. Then you have the responsibility. No matter what, no matter the context, you are in Manchester United, so you must fight for the winning trophy. So we'll see. Then when you get these stages of any competition, anything is possible, and they can prove that in a good day they can win everybody. So we can think about that.
Thank you. One at the back.
Sorry. No, I'm really focused on my players. I really like my players tonight.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. We're going to now take some questions to preview our Premier League game against Crystal Palace on Sunday. These answers are embargoed until Friday, tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. Let's start with Anton.
Hi, Ruben. You talked a lot about how you enjoyed working with Andre Garnacho and another promising performance tonight. How much is he improving under you, and how important is it that he's going to be, you keep him and he's going to be an important part?
I think he's not improving under me. He changed right away since that game from City. The way he understands things and understands that I just want to help him. I just want to win games. And he changed in everything. The approach when you talk with him, the way he recover, he understands that sometimes I'm a different coach, that I'm demanding in my way, and sometimes it's hard the first impact, because he's a different kind of coach, and he understand that he's never in the bad way, it's always for him, but I'm a different person, and I think all the merit is from Garnacho. And he's improving, and we want to continue to improve with Garnacho again today. He understood the position, the moments of playing inside, outside, the connection with Alo. I think he's improving a lot.
Chris?
Just on Kobe again, he's obviously played really well tonight, but it was his first start in the last three games. I think he was subbed on the two games prior to that. Did you feel maybe that the talk around his contract has been kicked up recently, and also, of course, the uncertainty over his future at the club might have affected his form as much as what you mentioned before about playing in that FIFA role?
I don't think it's the contract. He has a... Everybody in England sees him as a very, very good player. He played in Europa Championship final. So I think it's more the position. Then he's not comfortable, because before he was always playing, and now sometimes plays and sometimes don't play, is not comfortable. Maybe there is something to do with that. But I think the key point is the position. It's different for him, demands a lot from him. And today, in that position, I feel it more happy to play. Simple as that. I don't look about just the movements, the way he touched the ball. I feel it just watching him. He was so happy on the pitch, and that is important for me, because if they are happy, they play better. So I think he can change position.
Sorry.
We mentioned the club's financial situation a few times and that need to kind of raise money to reinvest, and also with the rules as they are, selling academy players is a way to do it. But how do you balance that with keeping those players as well and getting the best out of them? Because we've seen the impact Kobbie and Alejandro have had tonight. They've both been linked with being available this window. Is there going to have to be some difficult decisions there, or do you want to build a team around homegrown players?
That part is true, but I want players like Kobbie and Garnacho. The focus is that we have to improve our academy, and you have to bring more, because that is something that all the clubs in England have to take advantage. The players that came from academy to play, to fill the shirt, and also to sell. So our focus is to bring more. The rest I just want to prepare with both of them the next game.
Mark.
Ruben, Luke Shaw came back in training yesterday. How close is he to returning? When can we expect to see
him? It will take a little bit more time. I think he needs to train more, to spend more time with the teammates, playing like normal, even small side games, not just working alone. He stay there to mix a different type of work. So he's going to get together with the team when we arrive and start from there. And when I feel that is the right moment, we will start with some minutes in the games.
Simon.
On the subject of teams, what's the update with Mount and Evans at the moment? And with Malasia, he's obviously had a terrible injury. He's taken time to come back, and he's taken off a half time again today. Do you think it would be beneficial for him to go and get some minutes elsewhere, perhaps, for the rest of the season?
We will see. What I know is that he's really hard on Malasia. Long time without playing, then he's hard to make a lot of games. And a player like him is a fullback, and sometimes in this system, he played in national team outside and inside. Sometimes it's hard for him because he's not so offensive. And he can play like one of the three defenders if we have more possession and more control of the games. So it's a really difficult context for him, but he's our player, and we are going to help him.
I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you.
One time, guys.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.